I called the message, and it's a sermonette today, okay? The elders are shortening it up a little bit for me, so it's only going to be about 10 or 15 minutes long, but it's kind of a little talk about Christmas and what it means. I've called it Two Advents. Two Advents. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the next few moments, Lord, as we have been meditated in our hearts by the gift of music, Lord, now we long to meditate upon your word and the truth that your word presents to us, especially this holiday season that has been marred by tragedy beyond understanding. But Lord, we pray that you speak to us just now, a word of comfort, a word of assurance, a word of reminder that someday soon, Jesus is coming. The same Jesus who came as a little baby will soon come as King of Kings. Bless us with the assurance of this hope, and may we share it with others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Two Advents. Two Advents by the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Two Advents so different from each other and yet very real. What is an Advent? We use that word sometimes. We kick it around. In fact, we're gathered here in a Seventh-day Adventist church, right? What does that mean? Advent comes from an old Latin word, adventus, which simply means the arrival or the coming of someone, especially an important someone, someone who matters, someone of ultimate importance to us. And so when we talk about Advent, we talk about the arrival, the coming, the appearance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you think about it, you could say that the entire scripture is focused upon these two Advents, the first Advent and the second Advent. The first Advent, he has predicted, he has prophesied, it is told about in many places throughout the Old Testament, what we could call the Hebrew Scriptures. The Messiah is coming. A child will be born. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. A prediction of that first Advent, and yet that takes us beyond the first Advent to the second Advent. Because this same child, born, helpless, tiny, completely vulnerable. And let's acknowledge, is there anything more vulnerable than a newborn baby child? A baby child fresh out of the mother's womb. A baby child in a situation, a status of complete vulnerability, in complete dependence upon his or her parents. And Jesus was born completely dependent upon his mother. Completely vulnerable. That was the first Advent. The second Advent, he comes no longer dependent, but now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know about you, but when I see tragedies like we've seen yesterday, and like we've been enduring more and more of, I'm ready for another Advent, aren't you? I'm ready for another Advent. The first Advent, Jesus was born into this world that was also marred with tragedy and pain. There's an episode in the 13th chapter of Luke where it accounts of how Jesus was approached by some of his disciples. Lord, Lord, have you heard what Pilate did to some people who were worshiping in the temple, in a synagogue? And Pilate had all of these people killed? And Jesus says, yes, I've heard of it. And then he also refers to, you know, not only a man-made disaster, which was what happened when Pilate had these worshippers slain, but he also refers to a natural disaster when the Tower of Siloam, and we don't have any other story, any background to this. All we know is that a natural disaster happened. A tower fell on some people, killed 18 men who were just going about their business, doing what they were supposed to do. But I'm intrigued, and you can read about this in the 13th chapter of Luke, the first five verses. Jesus' response, he said, you know, those people who were killed, whether they were killed by the devastation, by the persecution, by the evil of mankind, or whether they were killed by the evil of natural disaster, really doesn't matter in the long run. The fact is, and this is what he says in both cases, except you repent, you shall all perish. Now that's harsh language, you would think. But Jesus is simply pointing out a terrible and horrible truth that we altogether become more and more familiar with the longer we live. this side of the second advent of Jesus. And that truth is, we are on a collision course to disaster unless Jesus comes first. That's why I say we're ready for a second advent. Yesterday's heartbreaking scenes there in Connecticut reminds us again, we are ready for a second advent. The months ago disaster of Hurricane Sandy and all of its devastation, we're ready for a second advent. Two advents, two arrivals, two appearances of our Lord and Savior. But oh, how different they were in one sense, but how similar they were in another sense. Both of them came right on time. They came, if you will, like the Bible says, in the fullness of time. God had set the situation. He had arranged the circumstances beforehand so that when Jesus was born the first time, right on time, and right in fulfillment of prophecy, he was born in the place God said he would be born, Bethlehem Ephrata, Micah 5:2. He was born at the time that God said he was born, Daniel 9. He was born to fulfill the purpose, Isaiah 53, that God had said he would fulfill. He was born just in the right situation, in the right circumstance that God had prophesied he was to be born in. And think of the setting into which he was born. Now, he was born at a time when the Roman Empire was in power. Greek, the Greek language that the New Testament was originally written in, was the language. It was the lingua franca, the language of business, the language that basically everybody throughout the Roman Empire understood. So there was none of that language communication barrier like you might otherwise expect at the time that the gospel of Jesus needed to go into all the world. There was what was called Pax Romana, Roman peace, throughout the empire. So that people could travel, people could go here and there on these well-built Roman roads and the Roman fleet system, the shipping system. Communication of the gospel could be accomplished at the time Jesus was born the first time. This helps us to understand, by the way, why the gospel spread into all the known Roman world very quickly, because God had Jesus be born in the fullness of time when it was just right. Well, that fullness of time is arriving again. We live in a day and age that's unique in the history of this world. We live in a time when we have a global economy, when we have global communications, when the gospel message for the first time is going into every part of the world. And isn't that the criteria Jesus has to look for? As we look up into the heavens and we await the second coming of Jesus, isn't that something Jesus said in Matthew 24:14? He says, this gospel of the kingdom will go where? Into all the world as a witness to all nations. And then what? Then the end will come. Then the second advent will take place. So the circumstances are in place right now. And the final movements will happen fast. The second advent. Two advents. One Lord of the Advent. Two Advents, the focus of Scripture. Two Advents, Jesus to be born in the most humble of circumstances. Jesus, God, transversing the course of the universe and entering into the womb of a woman, becoming what biologists call a zygote. You know what a zygote is? I didn't use it myself not so long ago. A zygote is that tiny pencil point size and shape of the freshly fertilized egg inside the mother's womb as it begins to develop into an embryo, as it begins to take human form and shape. God became a zygote. God became the tiniest of the human species. And then grew and developed inside of a woman. And then was born. Then was born in a cradle. But not to remain in a cradle. One day he was to bear a cross. But when he comes the second time, at the second advent, he is to wear a crown. From the cradle to the cross, to the crown, is the story of two Advents. Are you ready for a second Advent? I know I am. I don't know if I can emotionally stand more scenes like we've seen yesterday here in America. We are a nation in mourning. We are a world in mourning. And can I expand it beyond that? We are a universe in mourning as we contemplate the horrors of what took place yesterday. But you know what? This same scenario takes place in one form or another every day in this planet. Every day, hundreds of people starve to death. Every day, people die of sicknesses and disease and starvation and poverty. Every day, in some part of the world, someone is dying outside of the protection of Christ. If you were to ask God, Lord, how was your day today? He might say something like this. Well, it's been kind of a rough day. In fact, it's been a rough week. In fact, it's been a rough year. As I look down upon planet Earth, and I see events like this happen every day in some part of the world, not just in the United States, not just in Connecticut, but in some part of the world, every day, someone is dying. Someone put to death in some horrible way. Someone dying of poverty. Someone dying of starvation. Someone dying because this planet is on a destiny course towards devastation, towards everyone perish, except they repent. And so the message of the two Advents is Jesus came so that the world could repent. Jesus came the first time so that looking upon the baby in the cradle and following his life to the Lord on the cross, we can someday, we can repent and we can give our hearts to him. We can give our lives to him and we can look forward soon to his second coming when he bears the crown, the diadem of glory. What a day that's going to be. Christmas is about Advent. All right? Christmas reminds us that Jesus accomplished his first Advent there in a lowly manger, there to the bleating of animals, the baaing of sheep, the sounds and the smells and the scene of an animal storage place. Jesus placed in a manger, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, but adored by the shepherds and adored by the wise men. And I say to you today, wise men are still adoring him. Wise men still follow him. Wise men and women all over the world, looking back at his first advent, but looking forward to his second advent, wise men still follow the King of Kings. They still serve him. They still adore him. And they still follow him. My question for you this holiday season, do you still worship him? Looking back at the first advent, does it remind you that there's a second advent to come? He's not going to come as a little baby, helpless, fully dependent anymore. He's going to come in the clouds of heaven. Heaven's going to burst forth. All of the sin and suffering and pain and hardship that we've endured, it will be a thing no more. Jesus is coming. The second advent will happen. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait for it to happen. But you know, Scripture says we have a part in hastening that day. We have a work to fulfill. We have a work to accomplish. Getting the world ready for Jesus to come. And so with you this morning, I want to recommit myself this holiday, not only to reflect more deeply, to meditate more deeply upon the fact Jesus came to this earth the first time, but to help to hasten the day when he comes again. Two Advents, one Lord, one church, one mission to prepare the world for the second Advent. May it come soon. May we all be found ready for that day. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, we're reminded so painfully again and again, we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that the devil claims as his own. We live in a world where pain and suffering afflict so many in so many ways and so many places. But Lord, we are encouraged today with the reminder the memorial that Jesus came to this earth the first time. He lived among us as a man among men. He hungered, he thirsted, he was weary. He suffered affliction. He suffered all of the maladies that the human race could suffer. And Lord, we just want to, this holiday season, express our thanksgiving, our gratitude, our thanks, because Jesus came the first time, and now we are assured that one day soon He will come again. May we be ready. May we be excited. May we be encouraged. And may we do what we can do to hasten that wonderful day. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen.